We find ourselves now in the sixth week of Sphira. The sixth week corresponds to the sixth Mida, which is Yesod. The sixth Mida is the Mida of Yosef HaTzadik, and it corresponds to the sixth stanza that we say in Ana B'Koyach, for those who say it after Sphira, or many say Ana B'Koyach anyway, other times during the week. Yachid gei el amecha penei zoichirei kedusha secho. We're asking Hashem to turn penei to those who remember zoichirei kedusha secho, your kedusha. Kedusha is this midah, the midah of Yesod, and that's what was required of Klal Yisrael prior to Matan Torah. They were asked to sanctify themselves. They were asked to separate. Al tikshu el isha shloshes yamim. They were asked to be a goy kadosh, a holy nation. By yekadosh esa'am v'kidashtam hayomim machar. And that's the sixth midah, the midah of Yesod, which prepares us for the seventh, which is malchus. Yesod is the preparation for the seventh and final midah, which is malchus. That's why Yosef HaTzadik, who was tested in this midah and he passed, was zocher to malchus. He becomes the king. Becomes the ruler over Mitzrayim, as it says in the bracha that was given to him by Yaakov Avinu. Vateshev be'eson kashtoi, v'yafoizu zroya yodov, midei avir Yaakov, misham roya even Yisrael. Because he was tested in that midah, which is called keshes, he was zoicha to rule over Mitzrayim, over Klal Yisrael, and over the entire Mitzrayim. Yisoid leads to malchus. We find Yesod in the Megillah that we read on Shavuos, which is Rus. In Rus, we read how Boaz and Rus were in a situation. Rus comes to Boaz, asking him to marry her. And the Yetzer Hara was very strong at that time and was trying to convince Boaz that there's nothing wrong. You are a panui and she's a panuya. Especially, it's for the sake of marriage. What could be wrong? And in fact, that was before the halacha was that there was an isra of yichud. They had not yet prohibited yichud. And one can certainly be makadesh at that time in such a way. Yet, Boaz tells Rus that he's not certain. He's not for certain that he is the goyel. There might be another closer relative, as we read in the Megillah. In Yigol Eich Toiv Yigol, V'im Lav Egol. In other words, we have to ask first my uncle, and if he doesn't want to do it, which he didn't, then I will. So wait here, Lini Halayla, wait here tonight, and we'll see what happens in the morning. Chai Hashem, he swears, Shichvi Ad HaBoker, sleep here till the morning. So it says Rashi, Chazal tell us he swore to his Yetzer Hara. He swore that he wouldn't touch Rus. And yet they remained together in the same room overnight, but they didn't go near each other. And that was a tremendous nesoya in the midah of Yesod, and from there sprouts Malchus Beis David. Now, the first one who asked, what's so great about this? Why did he even wait? There was no Isra at that time. Besides that, he wasn't sure if he was the one that was supposed to do it. He also wanted to marry her Kedas Moshe of Yisrael. He wanted to do it. I don't know if the words Kedas Moshe of Yisrael are the correct phrase here. He didn't want to be Makadesh her in such a way. He wanted it to be done in front of 10 people. He wanted it to be done with a minyan, with chuppah, the kedushin, and nisuin, which is in fact what the Gemara learns out from here, that you're supposed to have 10 people when you marry. We learn it out from Boaz and Rus, and perhaps we learn it out from Boaz and Rus because Boaz was Moisen Nefesh. He had tremendous self-control here in order to be able to be Mekadesh Rus in front of a minyan, and this should be in public, especially that this was to publicize the halacha of my avi v'lay my avi, so that Rus is muter lavei bakoho, muteres lavei bakoho, and in fact the entire Rus was written to validate the authenticity of David HaMelech, that David is a true king, that David is not only a true king, he's really a Jew. There were those who said he wasn't even Jewish because Rus had no right to marry Boaz. So therefore, Boaz wanted this to be done in public. But this tremendous self-control, which we see in this pasuk here, in Rus, is quoted by Chazal why he swore. He swore to his Yetzer Hara. He also swore to her that he's not going to let her go. He's not just pushing her off like Yehuda did with Tamar, and that's why Yehuda had to, that's why Tamar met Yehuda in such a way, because Yehuda had said, wait a little bit. But he had no intention of ever allowing Tamar to marry his third son after what happened to his two sons, Aaron and Oinon. So that's when Tamar did it on her own. So Ruth was afraid that perhaps Boaz is again doing the same thing. So Boaz swears to her, no, this is not like what was then. But just wait till the morning and then we'll see. And of course in the morning, which was his last day, he did marry Ruth. The Arizal says that the Geula is hinted in this pasuk. Lini halayla v'hoya ba'boiker im yigolech toiv yigol. If in the morning Toiv, that was his name, the uncle of Boaz, if he will redeem you, meaning if he'll marry you, good, if not, I will. So the Arizal says in this pasuk is hinted the two ways that the Geula can happen. Either it can happen in a way that we deserve it, or Hashem steps in at the end and redeems us nevertheless. Im yigolech toiv, in other words, if you are redeemed in a good way, meaning you deserve to be redeemed, fine, and if not, I will redeem you anyway. Chai Hashem, shichviat ha-boyka. Just wait till the morning. We have to wait. We have to wait till the morning, the boyka. The boyka, of course, is the geula. Shavuos is the boyka. Shavuos is the morning. The 50th word of Chumash is boyka. Vayhi erev, vayhi voyker. Voyker is the 50th word of Chumash. And that's the 50th day, which is Shavuos, as it says in Chumash, that it was in the morning when Moshe Rabbeinu brings Klal Yisrael to Hashem by Har Sinai, and they receive the Torah. And therefore, prior to Shavuos, there's the week of Yesod, where the midah of Yesod is the idea of self-control. Especially self-control in the midah of Yesod. That's the preparation for Matan Torah. And what's interesting is, we find this is the week when Amalek came. The famous story of Ayovei Amalek Vayilochem in Yisrael Berefidim, which is repeated in Parshas Kiseidzei, Zohar Es Asher Asalacha Amalek Baderech Betzeisechem in Mitzrayim, when you were going out of Mitzrayim. When was this? Asher Korcha Baderech. He encounters you on the way. That was the last week of Iyar. It happened right now, during the week that we're in, the week of Yesod. Yesod is the last week of Iyar. Amalek attacks us in this midah. As we're preparing for Matan Torah, and we're going higher and higher, there's a sudden drop. There's Refidim. Klal Yisrael came to a place called Refidim, which that wasn't really the name, but there's another phone too, someone else connected. Klal Yisrael falls, they fall into Refidim. Amalek tries to cool them off from their excitement and their preparation for Matan Torah. Because as we get close to the great time of Matan Torah, there's a setback. It's a nisayon, it's a test to see if we're going to continue. We find that throughout history, right before great moments, there were setbacks. Right before Klal Yisrael is about to receive the Luchos, there's a tremendous setback. There's the Chet HaEgel. And right before Klal Yisrael is about to receive the Torah, Amalek arrives. And even though there was a victory over Amalek, but it wasn't a complete victory, there was still, it had an effect on Klal Yisrael. Asher korcha baderech, vayizanev becha, and what Amalek was trying to do here was to attack us in this midah. Asher korcha, the Rashi says, Lashon keri v'tumah, which is in the sixth week of Sfira. The sixth week of Sfira is Yosef HaTzadik, as Yesod. And that's what Amalek comes to attack. Amalek comes to attack Klal Yisrael in this midah. Just like we see today, as we're so close to the Geula, there are tremendous nisyonos, especially in this area, trying to make a setback. We've already gone through almost a 2,000-year gullus. We're almost there, and there's what seems to be a setback, but really, what it's not a setback. What it really is a final nisayon, a final test, which the purpose of the test is to uplift us, to bring us to greater heights. That's what the word nisayon, from the word nes, Elokim nisa es Avraham, in reality, the test is to uplift us. The bavur nasais eschem boho Elokim. But prior to Matan Torah, there was a setback this week, in the sixth week of Sfira. The Svarim tell us that till the fifth week, till Lag BaOmer, and till the end of the fifth week, which we spoke about last week, there are tremendous revelations, especially the fifth week, the gates of Shemayim are open. But in the sixth week, they close. Just for 2 weeks. The doors close for 2 weeks, and then on Shavuos, they open again. The Kashrut Samagid gives a marshal, it's like a king, but prior to his chasana, he goes into seclusion, he doesn't want anyone to talk to him, he's preparing for the wedding. Hashem is preparing for the wedding. Shavuos is the wedding of Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's the Nesu'in, as we read in the Haftarah this week, the erastichli, many say this pasuk when they wrap the tefillin on the finger 3 times. The erastachli le'olam, the erastachli b'tzedeku v'mishpatu v'chesedu v'rachamim, the erastachli be'emuna. There were three ve'erastichs. The first is the erusin of Matan Torah. The second was when the Mishkan was put up. The third is la'asid lavoi. And prior to the wedding, the king goes into seclusion. So the next 2 weeks, the gates are closed, but not meaning that we cannot accomplish in the next 2 weeks. On the contrary, the gates are closed. It's an asoya in the king. Hashem is looking to see if our excitement for Matan Torah has not, chas v'shalom, been lessened. That's why Amalek comes this week. Amalek comes in the week, the last week of Iyar, the sixth week of Sfira, the week of Yesod. And who does Moshe send to fight Amalek? He sends Yehoshua ben Nun, a descendant of Yosef HaTzadik, who excels in this midah, because only he can fight Amalek. But there's also something else here. Amalek attacked us in various ways, and one has to do with Sfira. The mitzvah of Sfira teaches us the importance of every day, of not pushing things off. Every day has its specialty, every day is unique. Kol yom, as the Zohar says, kol yom aviyom avid avidate. Every day has its specific job. When you lose a day, you can never get it back. Time is the most valuable gift is time. Hayoyim im b'koyloi sishmo'u. Rav Nachman Breslov always writes in his Sfarim, Hayoyim, today. A person should never worry about what happened yesterday and not be concerned about tomorrow, but today, as if today is the only day in your life. If a person would live every day and assume that that's the only day, today is the only day I've got, he would accomplish a lot, not push things off. But Amalek says, you have time, you can do it tomorrow. So that's why Moshe Rabbeinu says to Yehoshua, Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, say hilochem ba'amalek mochor. Go out and fight Amalek, who says that everything is tomorrow. Mochor, push things off. You don't have to do it today. Or Amalek tries to instill depression in us. You remember what you did yesterday? Never today. It's always either we're worried about yesterday, or we say we'll do whatever we have to tomorrow, but not in the present. And the mitzvah of Sfira teaches us that every day counts, and that's really a metaphor for our entire life. The 7 weeks of Sfira, which correspond to the 70 years of a person's life, the Shiva Shavua is Tisbalach, that every day counts, every month, every week, every year, and Chas V'Shalom, not to fall into the trap of Amalek. So Amalek comes in the days of Sfira because that's exactly what Amalek is fighting, this concept, the importance of time and pushing things off. And we are zeiche that we always read Parashas Bamidbar. We begin a new sefer of Chumash called Chumash HaPakudim, Numbers, but we refer to it also as Bamidbar. This is the sefer of Bamidbar, and Bamidbar is always read right before Shavuos. Usually it's the Shabbos before Shavuos. This year is an exception. This is one of those rare times that we get to read not only Bamidbar before Shavuos, but we get to read also Nasai before Shavuos. Usually Nasai is the Shabbos after Shavuos. This year, Bahaloscha is the Shabbos after Shavuos. But Bamidbar is always read prior to Shavuos. And this year it is also Shabbos Mevarchim. We bench the new month, which is the month of Sivan. The month of Zevulun. Every month has its Shevet. the month of Gemini, Mazel Teumim, Teumim are the twins, that's Hashem and Klal Yisrael, we become twins with Hashem, the Luchais are, the two Luchais are like twins, like Siamese twins, attached to each other, Achasi, Oinosi, Tamosi, Toimosi, we connect with Hashem through the Torah, which on Shavuos, we also were commanded to bring the Shtei Halechem, the two loaves, which remind us of the two Luchais, the two entities, Hashem and Klal Yisrael, which become one. The Chasen of Klal Yisrael and Hashem takes place in the month of Sivan, the third month, which the number three, we know, has the power to connect two opposites, Gashmius and Ruchnius, which is what the Torah is all about. The Torah has the power to connect Gashmius and Ruchnius. What is it about a midbar, though? What is it about a desert, a wilderness, that seems to be very prominent here? We find that the parasha that we read before Shavuos is called Bamidbar. And as we enter the month of Sivan, we look at the Pesukim that tell us what happened right after Melchamas Amalek. The Pesuk says, Vayisu mei refidim, vayachanu bemidbar Sinai. The Pesuk says, Vachodesh hashlishi l'tzeis b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim, vayom hazeh bo'u midbar Sinai. Vayisu mei refidim, vayachanu bamidbar. So as we're entering the month of Sivan, and 3,000 years ago, as the month of Sivan arrived, we entered into a desert. Not that we weren't in a desert before, we were in a desert before too, but this is Midbar Sinai. Yirmiyahu HaNavi stresses the fact that Hashem prides with Hashem is proud of us in the fact that we left Mitzrayim and followed him in a desert. Lechteich Achrai Bamidbar, the Eretz Lo Zeruah. We didn't ask any questions, we went into a wilderness, and we followed Hashem. What is it about a midbar that is so important prior to Matan Torah? And in fact, what's the reason that the Torah was given in a desert, in the wilderness? What a place to give a Torah. Hashem has a major announcement to make. I mean, imagine Lahavdil, if the President of the United States has a major announcement that he wants to make, and he wants to discuss something very important with everyone. He said, let's go into the wilderness. Why do it over there? Find a huge area, a stadium, a nice, beautiful, scenic area, and that's where it should be done. Not in a wilderness, especially as the Torah describes what a wilderness is in Parshas Ekev. It is a place of nochosh, sorof, ve'akrov. Snakes, serpents, and scorpions. Is that the place where the Torah should be given? The first pasuk, which actually is the root of the entire parasha, we know that the entire parasha is hinted in the first pasuk. And it's the first pasuk, not only of Parshas Bamidbar, but of the entire Sefer. Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe, b'midbar Sinai, b'oihel Moyed, in the desert of Sinai, in the tent of meeting, which is the Mishkan, when the Echad l'Chodesh Hasheni b'Shana Hashenis, which is the first day of the second month, the month of Iyar, the month that we're still in, l'tzeisa me'eretz Mitzrayim, to their departing Mitzrayim, when they went out of Mitzrayim. Before Hashem asks, why is this so lengthy here? Why does the Torah describe to us where they were? We know they were in a desert. We know they were surrounding the Mishkan. We know that they had already left Mitzrayim. The Torah seems to be teaching us something over here. What is the Torah teaching us here by elaborating on the place and the time? Midbar Sinai b'Ohel Moed and b'Echad l'Chodesh Hasheni b'Shana Hashenis, the first day of the second month in the second year. Rashi tells us in Baha'u'llah that this is out of order, because there's a topic in Baha'u'llah that came before this. Pesach Sheni was taught on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. This is Rosh Chodesh Iyar. And there Rashi tells us that the Torah was not written in order, as we know. Ein mukdam u'me'uchar ba'Torah. But it's strange that an entire Sefer should start off backwards. You don't find that by any other Sefer in the Chumash. Bereishis, of course, starts at the beginning. Shemais is in order, Vayikra seems to be in order, Devarim is in order, and yet this Sefer is not. This Sefer starts off Shalaybim Kaima, it's not in the right place. It's out of order. And what's interesting too is that the parasha of Matan Torah, which is in Yisrael that we're going to be reading, Shavuos in the morning, is also out of order, because the first part of the parasha, which is the arrival of Yisrael, part of it, at least, everyone agrees, took place after Matan Torah, and then we go back and we start Bachodesh Hashlishi, which talks about Matan Torah, which was before. What is the idea that the Torah is written out of order? Why is it so? Why would it be that way? And one of the reasons to understand all of this is the Torah is not subjected to time. The Torah is not subjected to place. The Torah is l'maylam in hazman, and it's l'maylam in hamakom. In fact, Shavuos, it's interesting, is the only yomtiv that the Torah doesn't say when it falls out. You look at every other yomtiv, it tells you exactly what day it is. Rosh Hashanah is the first day of the seventh month. Yom Kippur is the 10th day of the seventh month. Sukkot is the 15th day of the seventh month. Pesach is the 15th day of the first month. Sukkot comes to Shavuos. All it says is, after you count 50 days, doesn't even say when exactly it is. The Gemara says because it wasn't always the same day. Sometimes it was the 5th, sometimes it was the 6th, sometimes it was the 7th, because they were Mekadosh al-Pi Ariya. Sometimes Nisan could be 30 days or 29 days. Sometimes Iyar could be 30 or 29 days. So it's never clear. It's not 100% sure exactly what day Shavuos is. So therefore the Torah doesn't tell you that. Today we know exactly when Shavuos is because the calendar has been fixed that Iyar is always 29 days and Nisan is always 30. But it wasn't like that in the time of Chumash and even later. But there's a deeper reason why the Torah doesn't tell us what day Shavuos is. The Torah is not subjected to time. The Torah is l'mayilam in hazman. That's why the Torah is written out of order, not because it's without a seder and it's as we have people that are like that, that just don't know how to be orderly and everything is just in the wrong place. Chas v'shalom, there's no greater mesuga than HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the mesader of the entire world. But yet the Torah is written out of order purposely to teach us that it is not subjected to time. And that's why there's a mitzvah v'achodesh hazeh lochem, and it's possible through Torah that one can change time, one can add a month to the year, one can add a day to a month. Through Torah, through tshuva, it's possible even to change time, it's even possible to change the past. And the same goes with place. Torah is l'maylam and hamokayim. We see that in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Where was the Aroin? Where were the Luchais? The Aroin and the Luchais were in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Gemara says, Mokayim ha'Aroin einoim in hamida, that the place in which the Aroin was located took up no space. It was made no sense. It was there, but yet it took up no place. The Torah says exactly how long and how wide the Kodesh HaKadoshim was, and with the Aron it would be more. So how could it be? So the Aron took up no place. Does it make any sense? No, it doesn't. And every year when the Kohen Gadol would go to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he would scratch his head in amazement, not understanding how it's possible. And it's interesting that this week's parasha ends off with the topic of the Kodesh HaKadoshim and the Aron. That when the Bnei Kohos would carry the Aron, when they would travel in the desert, they weren't allowed to go in and see the Aroin being taken apart and covered. The Loyavoyu Lirois Kavalias HaKodesh Vameh. They're not allowed to go in there. Just like prior to Matan Torah, the Pasuk says that they weren't allowed to go on top of the mountain. Al Ye'ersu El Hashem. Everyone had to know where their place is. It's interesting too that Parshas Yisro ends V'loy Salah B'ma'alois Al Mizbechi. Asher Lo Sigol Ervozcha Olav. Mefarshim say that means that when one goes higher and higher in Avodas Hashem, you have to take the steps slowly. If you go too high, too far, the person goes where he's not fit to go, he can fall much worse than had he not gone there. That's why there was the warning prior to Matan Torah that there should be the Prisha and Hagbola. They had to separate, and they also had to set boundaries around the mountain. Everyone had to know where their place is. In fact, this is also the parasha where the flags in the machanois of all the shvatim were set up, that everyone should know exactly where they belong. Reuven belongs with Reuven, Shimon belongs with Shimon, God belongs with God, Yehuda. No one belongs in the area of the Mishkan. No one is supposed to be guarding the Mishkan except Shevet Levi. Everyone has their job. Everyone has to know what their job is, and it's not to be confused. And those who don't belong in the areas that are very, very holy are not allowed to go there. So the Torah begins, this week's parasha, Parashas Bamidbar, which is the Shabbos, the parasha that we read prior to Matan Torah. The Torah starts off a pasuk, which talks to us about the time that this takes place, where Klal Yisrael is counted again for the third time, and it's written out of order, because this is not in the order of the way it happened. There's an event that takes place later in this Sefer that happened before this, but purposely, this Sefer that we always read prior to Matan Torah is written out of order, because we're about to get ready for the Yom Tov of Shavuos. where we receive the Torah, which is above time, which is l'mayla min hazman. And the idea of Torah is that Torah has the ability to affect zman and affect makom and affect nefesh. Those are the three dimensions that the world was created with: time, place, and life. And the idea of Torah is to elevate the three. Time is elevated, especially as we see during Sfira. Every day we count, we sanctify every day. The place is elevated. Where was the Torah given? The Torah was not given in Eretz Yisrael. The Torah was given in Har Sinai, on Har Sinai, in Midbar Sinai, which is not Eretz Yisrael. But when the Torah was given there, it had the Kedusha of Yerushalayim. Because with the power of Torah, we can sanctify Mokoyim. Even where it's not Eretz Yisrael, we have the ability to make it Eretz Yisrael. As the Tzemach Tzedek told one of his Hasidim, who asked them if he should go to Eretz Yisrael, and he told them, who says you have to go to Eretz Yisrael right now? Maybe your job is to make Eretz Yisrael here, where you are, and in the Ukraine, wherever they live then. The goal is to transform the Midbar into an Oyel Moyeh. By Dabar Hashem El Moshe, in this pasuk we have all three. We have Nefesh, we have Moshe, we have place, Midbar Sinai, Be'Oyel Moyeh, and we have time, Be'echad L'Chodesh Hasheni Bashana Hashenis. These three, Nefesh, Mokoyim, and Zman, are all within the constraints of nature. That's Mitzrayim. But on Shavuos, we go out of Mitzrayim. Not just physically, but spiritually. Pesach, we left Mitzrayim physically. On Shavuos, we are now free from the Tumah of Mitzrayim. Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, what did we hear? The first of the Aseres HaDibros, Asher Hoitzei Sicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim Yibes HaVodim. You are now free. No more constraints. No more Meitzar. Meaning, time doesn't matter, place doesn't matter. Take a look where the Torah is being given. It's being given B'Midbar Sinai. And we can transform the Midbar into an Oyel Moyed. B'Midbar Sinai, B'Oyel Moyed. In fact, the Mishkan, the first one, was put up right there, B'Midbar Sinai. B'Echad L'Chodesh Hasheni B'Shana Hashenis, which talks about day, month, and year. The Torah has the power to elevate days, months, and years. That's the purpose of the Torah, to elevate that which exists in the realm of nature. In Mitzrayim, the Torah has the power to elevate, and that one can go out of Mitzrayim through the power of Torah, even when it comes to time and place and nefesh. That's why you have all three mentioned in this pasuk, and then the pasuk adds, L'tzeisa me'eretz Mitzrayim. We can go out of Mitzrayim, and then we're not subjected to time and place. There's another reason why the Torah was given in a Midbar. Among many reasons that Chazal tell us, one is that a person has to be like a Midbar, a person has to consider himself hefke like a Midbar, ownerless. A Midbar is ownerless. No one owns a desert. There's no signs, no trespassing in a wilderness. Who cares? It belongs to everyone. The Torah belongs to everyone. There is no one group that can say, we are B'nai Torah, as you hear a lot of people say today. The Torah belongs to us, or it's in our community. The Torah is for everyone, for every single Jew. Torah tzivolanu Moshe Mayrosha Kehilas Ya'akoy. There's no one community that has a monopoly over Torah. In fact, the Haftorah begins when Hashem says to Hosea, this week's Haftorah, that from now on, I want you to tell Klal Yisrael that they are B'nei Keil Choy. They are the sons of the living God. The Torah connects us to Hashem in two ways. One way is like a marriage, the Erastich, as we read in the Haftorah. It's the Erison, the Nesuin of Klal Yisrael, really the Erison, the Nesuin is Lasid Lavoi. It is also the beginning of the relationship of a child to a father. Banim Atem LaHashem Elokeichem. The Torah, through the Torah, we become the children of Hashem. We are B'nei Keil Choy. Keil Choy is Begematria 49. After the 49 days of Sfira, we become Hashem's children. In fact, in the parasha here, we read, the Eila told us, Arayinu Moshe, B'yoyim Dibra Hashem as Moshe Behar Sinai. It says, and these are the children of Aaron and Moshe, the day that Hashem spoke to Moshe in Har Sinai. But till then, they were not the children of Aaron and Moshe. And then the Torah goes on to tell us the names of the sons of Aaron. And Moshe's children are not mentioned here. Says Rashi to teach us that we're not talking now about the physical children here. We're talking about the fact that he taught them Torah. Because Moshe taught them Torah, they are considered his children. And that teaches us that whoever teaches the son of his friend Torah, it's considered as if he is their father. So these are the Torahs of Moshe is now considered the father of the children of Aaron because he taught them Torah. Hashem taught us Torah on
Shavuos, we are now Hashem's children. The chol bonayich limudei Hashem. Bonim atem laHashem alekeichem.
These are the two relationships that began with the giving of the Torah. And in fact, only one can we say that there was sort of a hefsek. There was a temporary separation only in the relationship of Erusin, that Golus is like considered like a divorce, a separation, just temporarily. But nowhere does it ever say that we ever lost the relationship of being Hashem's children. A child can never become no longer a child of his parents. He's always a child of his parents forever, no matter what he does. So we're always Hashem's children. It's just the other relationship that in Golus, temporarily, there's been a cessation of that relationship, if that's the right word. The Torah was given in a desert where there's no distractions, to teach us that one has to learn in a setting where there are no distractions. A person is supposed to learn Torah in such a way where he shouldn't have the cell phone ringing every second, even though we just had it. He shouldn't be subjected to what's going on in the world. When a person is learning, he has to totally disconnect himself from the world, from time and place, and throw himself into learning as if it's in a desert where there's nothing there. There's nothing else but him and Hashem. This was the seclusion, the honeymoon, sort of, if you want to use the word, between Hashem and Klal Yisrael, where Hashem took us to a private area where no one was there, no people lived there. There are no goyim there, there's no one else there but us and him. Because this is where the marriage took place, between us and Hashem. But then there's another idea why the Torah was given in a midbar. In two ways. One is that the goal is that we take this world, which is a midbar, which is a desert, which is a desolated area spiritually, and through Torah we can cultivate it, that it's no longer a desert. As it says, Vayosa midbara ke'eden ve'arvasa ke'gan Hashem. The purpose is that we turn the desert into a garden. As it says here, b'midbar Sinai be'oyel moyed. How many communities all over the world today, all over the United States today, that were literally spiritual wildernesses, and now I'm a koimais of Torah. B'midbar Sinai be'oyel moyed. The Torah has the power to transform even the lowest area, and even if it's not an Eretz Yisrael, and make it and sanctify it and elevate it to the status of a Mishkan, of Oyel Moyed. And that's why the Torah is purposely given in a desert, in a desolate area, because the purpose of Torah is to elevate and to transform that which is now desolate into something which blossoms into a garden, into something beautiful. And then there's another understanding here, and that is, and this is each and every individual, the Midbar is a place, as the Pasuk describes it, of snakes, serpents, and scorpions. Nachash, Sarav, Ve'akrav. Every person without Torah is full of snakes and serpents and scorpions. Those are the Midas Ra'os that we're working on now during the days of Sfira to eradicate. As Mepharshim explained, when it says by the story of Yosef HaTzadik, now that we're in the week of Yosef, we can say it. It says there that they threw him into a pit that didn't have any water. It says, "V'haboy reik ein boy moyim." The pit was empty, and there was no water in it. So Chazal asked, "If it was empty, you know there was no water in it." Says Rashi from Chazal, "Mayim ein boy avol nechoshim ve'akrabim yesh boy." Yeah, there's no water in it, but the fact that it says that there's no water is stressing to us that it's only water that wasn't in there, but there were snakes and scorpions. Tell us the svara. Torah is compared to water. How called Tzomei L'chula Mayim. If a person doesn't have Torah, if he doesn't have water, it's automatic. It's going to happen, or maybe it happened already, that he's going to have to deal with the snakes and the scorpions. If a person doesn't have water in him, then he has snakes and scorpions in him. It's impossible without Torah to eradicate the animalistic behaviors that we are born with, as Shlomo HaMelech writes, Adam Ayor Pera Yivoled. A person is born like a wild beast, and that goes to everyone. Everyone is born a desert. Everyone is born desolate. Everyone is born with Nechoshim and Akrabim and Srafim inside of us, and there's nothing wrong with admitting it. We all have it. And it's not an excuse either. A person can't say, well, what do you want from me? I was born with the tendencies of a snake. And I have the tendencies of a scorpion when I get angry. So what do you want from me? Well, that's not an excuse, because we have a Torah. The Torah was given to us, and the Torah has the power
to remove the snakes and the scorpions from our midst. As it says in the Haftarah at the end, V'chorati lohem bris b'ayoyim hahu im chayas hasod v'imoyf hashomayim v'remes o'adoma.
The Torah, which is the bris, Ushmatim es brisi, has the ability to remove the wild animals from among you, meaning from inside of you. The nochash sarav v'akrav that exists in the desert, in the wilderness, which every person is born like a wilderness. That's why the Torah was purposely given the wilderness in a place of snakes and scorpions to teach us that that's the power of Torah. The Torah has the power not only to elevate the place and make a wilderness into a garden, but also it changes the person, as this has been proven over and over again. Rabbi Akiva said about himself that before he learned Torah, when he was in Am Haaretz, the first 40 years of his life, if he saw a Talmud Chacham, he wanted to bite him like a donkey. So Rabbi Akiva admits, obviously on his level, what he had to deal with before he was introduced to Torah. Torah has the power to remove from us the evil and prepare us for Yerushalayim. When we leave Mitzrayim, as we mentioned many times, we are getting closer to Yerushalayim. What is the Mishnah in this week's Pirkei Avos? Very timely. In this week's Pirkei Avos, the Mishnah tells us about among the 10 miracles that occurred in the Beis Hamikdash. Asara Nisim Nasu La'avoyseinu B'Beis Hamikdash. And two of them were in Yerushalayim. Says the Mishnah, Lo Hizik Nochash Ve'akrov B'Yerushalayim. And in Yerushalayim, never did a snake or a scorpion harm anyone. Because Yerushalayim is a place, even though Yerushalayim is surrounded by a wilderness, there's Midbar Yehuda, which is right near Yerushalayim. And perhaps there are snakes, people do see snakes in Yerushalayim, but Lehizig Nochash Ve'akrav Yerushalayim. In Yerushalayim, it's like the way it's going to be in the future, that the wild animals are no longer going to be predators. V'hishpati chaya ra min ha'aretz. Rabbi Shimon ben Yechai, in fact, is the one who says, we're coming from his yard site. It doesn't say that Hashem is really going to get rid of them. It says, V'hishbati mashbison shelo yaziku, he says. Not that they're not going to exist. They're going to exist, but they're not going to harm anyone. Like on the Teva of Noach, there were lions and tigers and snakes and beasts and all the wild animals and bugs. You can imagine, but none of them, except for that one incident with the lion, with Noach, whatever, none of them ever did any harm to one another. Like the way it says, it's going to be la'asud lovei, v'goriz ze'evim keves, the nomerim gedi yirbats. And as the Haftarah ends off here, v'chorati lohem bris b'ayoyim hahu im chayas hasodav yimoyif hashomayim v'remes v'adoma. The keshes v'cherev u'melchoma eshboy min ha'aretz. I'm going to remove, I'm going to destroy from the world all weapons and any wars. V'hishkaftim lavetach. And they will be able to relax with security. Lavetach. Lavetach is equal to 49. The 49 days of Sfira prepare us for the time that we're going to live in security, in peace and security. V'erastich. And Hashem says, I'm going to take you as my beloved wife. I'm going to bethroth you. V'erastich li. V'erastich is b'gematria. Lechteich achrei b'amidbar. V'erastich is also b'gematria. V'ayisu mei refidim v'ayavoyu b'amidbar. They left refidim, that's this week. Klal Yisrael did shuva. Whatever effect Amalek had on them, and there was an effect, but it was temporary. They did shuva. V'ayisu mei refidim v'ayavoyu midbar Sinai. They went into the midbar. They entered the midbar, which a midbar is a place that nothing grows besides cactus, nothing grows. It symbolizes total humility. A person has to be like a midbar in order to be able to be mekabel the Torah. That's why the Torah is given in the midbar. Klal Yisrael reached this unbelievable level of humility, and that's why they were able to unite with one another. Vayichan Shom Yisrael Neged Hahor, which takes place Rosh Chodesh Sivan, the month that we're about to enter, as they arrived and they came into the desert. And this is the month of Zevulun. Zevulun comes from the word Zevul, Nun. Zevul means dwelling place. Leah said, Hapam yizbeleini ishi. Now my husband is going to make his main dwelling place with me because I bore him 6 children. What does Sivan have to do with Zevulun? If anything, it should be Yisachar. Yisachar is the Talmud Chacham. Zevulun also learned, but he's the businessman. The purpose of Torah is not just learning it. It also means living a Torah life. There's learning Torah and there's living a Torah life. The purpose of the Torah was to make the world a dwelling place for Hashem, a dira de tachtoinim, that the Midbar Sinai should become Oyhel Moyed. And that's hinted in Zevulun. And Zevulun deals more with that than Yisachar does. Yisachar learned Torah. Zevulun not only learned Torah, but he also brought the Torah into the world, which is really what the purpose is. In the business place, A person could transform his workplace into an Ohel Moed. A person, even while traveling, connects himself to Hashem. Even if he's on the train, and during this time it's very difficult, one goes on the train, all the Nisyonos. So people have Svarim, people say Tehillim, people just close their eyes, go to sleep. A person can bring Torah everywhere, wherever you go, in the workplace, and in the kitchen, in the dining room, in any part of the world, because the Torah was given not just to learn it, but the Torah was given also to be a way of life that enables us to bring Hashem, the Shekhinah, into this world, which is what Zevulun means. Zevul Nun. Nun is the 50. The 50th level, the Shar HaNun. Vayeved Hashem al HaSinai is begematria Shar HaNun. The Shar HaNun comes down to earth. Shamayim and earth, heaven and earth connect on Shavuos. The physical and the spiritual become one. The Midbar Sinai is transformed into Ba'ayel Mayeh. That's Zevulun. Yizbaleini Ishi. Ishi means my husband, which is Hashem, as it says in the Haftarah here. V'hoya b'yayim ha'hu nu'um Hashem tikri Ishi. On that day, you're going to call me my Ish. We're going to refer to Hashem as our Ish, not as our Baal, as it says here, which is a higher relationship. Said Leah, when Zevulun was born, Hapam yizbaleini Ishi. Now my Ish, my husband, is now going to make his main dwelling place with me, which is what Hashem says, I give you the Torah and I live among you. Which is what the purpose of the Torah is, to bring Hashem into the world. The world today is definitely a midbar shemam, a desolate wilderness, an immoral, decadent place. Today everyone agrees. And even today it's possible, in today's day and age, as much as it sounds ridiculous, it is possible to bring Kedusha into even this world, into this low world. And perhaps that's why it's so low, especially right before Mashiach comes. To teach that nevertheless, it's an asayin, and for many maybe it's a setback. On the contrary, the Torah is so powerful, even though the Torah was given 3,000 years ago in an ancient history, it still has the ability to deal with today's day and age and elevate today's day and age and today's place, today's makom, and today's man, until the time when we will feel it, when the role called Basa Yaktav Kipi Hashem Dibur, and as the Navi ends off, the Nigla Kvod Hashem, the glory of Hashem, will be revealed in the world, and all the wildernesses will turn into beautiful gardens. Salsain v'simcha yimotzei v'atoy devokel zimra v'yosem midbara ke'eden v'arvasa ke'gan Hashem. May we be zeicher to the Yom Tov Shavuos, Kabbalas HaTorah, and the Torah of Mashiach, in the Heir of Yomeinu.